On this episode of Dial the Cosmos, I've got a man with me that comes from a like-minded background, but has got his own unique take on the whole of life and the perspective of life. He's had career in the forces. He's also works with multi-faith. So if you'd like to give Dial the Cosmos welcome to Dave Frost. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome. Thank you very much for asking me.
Okay, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are at this current time. What are you actually currently doing?
Okay, at the current time, I'm actually retired from my day job. I was an aircraft engineer, but we'll go back to that. And currently now I'm working, I'm a multi-faith minister, I'm a spiritual healer, and I work as a medium.
Right.
And in all of that, I teach, I mentor in lots and lots of areas.
Okay, so let's just break it all down a little bit then. How does a man like you become a medium? What's your what was your background in mediumship?
No, my background in mediumship, I started out very young. Like most of us, born in the early 50s, I was christened as Church of England. But when I was, like most, I used to go to my grandparents for the weekend. And they used to take me home on a Sunday and then go off to church. Me being me, 7, 8 years old, thinking, hang on, if I go with them, I could stay up late on a Sunday. So I asked if I could go with them. And my grandparents were actually spiritualists. So I started going to a spiritualist church when I was only about 7 or 8 years old, and I absolutely loved it. And from that, sort of later on, I was planning to join up when I left school at 16. I was joining the RAF, and I'd always had chronic asthma as a child. So I was suggested I go for spiritual healing. And I went for spiritual healing, and it got rid of my asthma so that I could actually join up and pass the medical to join up. I served 26 years in the RAF, and the day I left, my asthma came back.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible, yes.
And we're going to go back through that in a little while.
Yeah.
I want to know what mediumship is, because people use that word and it's a one word catch all, isn't it?
It is, yes. I've on mediumship, we talk of I always, my students and people that I talk about two types of mediumship. You have psychic mediumship, where people are actually reading the sitter and they will ask questions and feed people back. You've got the other ones who I believe work with spirit directly or work with the loved ones in spirit directly that have moved on. And they will get the spiritual link, and they will then hopefully go directly to the recipient with information, with a description of the person, with evidence to confirm who it is. And then they will give messages about what's going on in their lives, which shows that their loved ones that have gone before are still around them and still not one knows what's going on. So really, you have one form of mediumship where you've got what we call spiritual mediumship, and then you have the ones who will tend to read back the person.
Okay, so
Personally, when I'm giving evidence, I like to give evidence where people have to go and ask someone else.
we're talking about spiritual evidence, aren't we? We're talking about,
Spiritual evidence, yes.
survival,
Yeah.
evidence of life after life,
It is
that
very
sort of
much.
thing.
It is very much evidence of life after life, and evidence that those that have gone before are still around.
Okay, so let's just look at psychic mediumship.
Yes.
Right. Some people might call it facilitation mediumship as well, might they? I've heard it called that before.
Yes.
What is the benefit of that?
I think that gives reassurance, but I think a lot of the psychic mediumship is where people are using cards, and they will use all sorts of tools to help, and it will be, but in many ways, it gives reassurance. And many people look to that for not, I wouldn't say necessarily fortune telling, but it is, they do like people do ask for evidence of things going forward.
Okay, so let's just just for the sake of it, you know, humor me a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. What would be the benefit of someone having that from somebody who claims to be in contact with somebody on the other side, in the spirit world, different dimension? You know what I mean? Let's just open that up, because that sounds to me like someone's just being told what they want to hear.
That is very much a lot of the case, I believe, with psychic mediumship and psychics, unfortunately. But that is what some people go to psychics looking for. They want confirmation of what their thoughts are.
Okay, so in essence, we wouldn't call that a psychic, would we? We might call that a divination reading. We might even call that a friendship. You know, somebody who's got a friend that's just there to listen, which is then, you know, counselling.
It could be, yes.
Okay, so, let's put that where it belongs. Okay, with fairness and with love to the for the people that do tarot card readings, because they perform a generalised, you know, role in life that is very helpful to some.
They do, yes, I agree. Okay. They do perform a service that people need.
Okay, great. So we want to be fair to them. Now tell me about spiritual mediumship.
On spiritual mediumship, I think of look at spiritual mediumship as being confirmation of evidence of life after life, as you described earlier. It's bringing through evidence that particular loved ones are still around. I mean, we have talked before where people lose somebody, they want reassurance that person is okay wherever they've gone to a spirit world or to wherever they've moved on to in life after life. But it's also giving that reassurance that they are okay. You can give reassurance that in our own lives, that we have that support that's coming from those that have gone before. And in many cases, I will give readings where people are coming through talking about when people have decisions to make in their life, where they would have asked advice from people that have gone before, and they will bring through that advice from the spirit world.
So we're talking about facilitation again, aren't we?
In a way, yes.
Okay, but now put me into the place where the sort of evidence that's acceptable.
I think this sort of evidence that's acceptable is varied, because no two mediums are the same. We all work in different ways. In my case, I come through with many, many things. Excuse me. I very rarely get names, but I do have dates for birthdays, for anniversaries, because we say from the spirit side of life, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, and dates of passing are all clusters anniversaries, and they will come through to help with confirmation of who the person is, the communicator from the spirit world. And then you will then go on then to childhood memories. There will be one recent one I did. I had a lady just burst out laughing when I came through. I think it was her grandmother talking about her childhood toys and a tricycle that she fell off when she was with her nan.
Okay.
You know, so you get all sorts of memories, but certainly in when I'm working, I always warn people that I'm going to make them work as well, because I will bring back memories from 50 years ago.
Okay,
and not things that are in the current mindset.
Absolutely sure, and I'm on your side in lots of ways within this. But what I also want to understand is that do you need that? When you're talking, you know, to a client, do you need them to feed back information to you?
I believe so, yes, because it's all right, you know, confirming who the communicator is, and then we will talk through what the need is or why they've come at that particular time. It will normally often be a family crisis or decision making, children struggling through school that are having a bit of help that's been asked for. It could be anything like that. But I think having the childhood memories is our loved ones, when they pass on, they retain the character that they had.
Okay.
So they'll have the same sense of humour. They will have the same memories. So they will come through with the sort of jokes that they used to come. They will come through with reassurance, really, to put smiles on people's faces.
Okay, so personality is important.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is very, I think it's absolutely vital that you represent that individual.
Very much so.
The only thing I think that I would question is that names, I mean, names need to be a part of the process in my point of view.
Yes.
Because if I was to meet you, the first thing I say to you is, hello, Dave, I'm Dominic.
You know exactly, I know.
So why wouldn't somebody in spirit do that?
In many cases, when I'm working anyway, sometimes I get names, but the name will be a sometimes a link or relate to confirm who it is. So it'll be someone around them rather than the person itself. But in my case, because I'm clairvoyant and I actually see the person that's communicating, I can give a description and the people will know who the communicator is by the description, and they don't need the name as well.
Right. So you've got both.
I've got both going on.
Talk to me about clairvoyance, because I think that's a very important part of mediumship. And also, what you're talking about, tell me how many senses you use during the mediumship reading.
Well, we talk about three senses on mediumship. We talk about clairvoyance, which is clairseeing, and clairaudience is clear hearing, and clairsentience, which is a knowing. It's a feeling. It's working on feelings. And personally, I use all three. When I first started working, a lot of mediums were only clairsentient. They just feel and they get feelings through. I'm fortunate. I use all three. And I come through at the start of any link. I will come through with a description. So I have clairvoyance at the side and then I will have that through. But then the information comes into my head and out of. I've been doing it that long. I work very quickly. And literally the information comes into my head and comes out of my mouth. So which one I'm actually using at any one time, I don't have time to analyze it. It just flows. Right. So I could be using a combination of all three at any one time.
Okay.
Because I know I am shown things, I'm told things, and I feel things, and it all works together.
Okay. So, I understand that. I clearly get what you're saying. But what about claircognizance, clear knowledge? How does that fit into a mediumship reading?
A lot of knowledge comes into it. I think a lot of that comes into really from the clear knowing. It can come through and it comes through. But that would come through, I feel, as part of the clairsentience bit, a clear feeling, because it will come in as a feeling and you would know inherently that it's factual truth as it's coming in.
Okay. For me, claircognizance is slightly different. I'm not trying to throw you curveball questions here, Dave. I'm just trying to understand where this comes from. The thing about claircognizance is it's clear knowing.
Yes.
Clear knowledge. And it's about knowing everything that's ever happened has happened.
Yes.
And being able to tap into that clear knowledge.
Yes.
Of that lifetime. And so the lifetime is there laid out in front of you.
Yes,
if you're able to go in there and follow the trail.
Yes.
And pick it up as a medium, because sometimes we don't really get to use timings.
Sometimes
we get to use the things that we have in front of us, which are, as you say correctly, the descriptions, the feel, the personality, even the tastes.
Yes.
So many mediums miss taste as something that they have. I mean, for me, I work as a medium, I don't have anything that's going to disrupt my palate. So I can taste things if it comes in. I don't have any alcohol, tobacco, anything like that, because I want to be able to be very clear about everything. And I don't have anything on me like scent. So I don't have no aftershave, anything that distracts away, because it's the little subtle things that are going to give you the clues about what that person is. And it may be something small that is that vital bit of evidence, because if you're not going to get names, if you're not going to get dates, times, addresses and stuff like that, that's the next layer, isn't it?
It is the next layer. And you'd yes something I haven't consciously thought about, but yes,
okay.
Like you, I don't drink anything, particularly when I'm working. I might afterwards, but
might need to, yeah,
like might me. Need to sometimes, yeah, exactly. But I drink water only. Again, I don't smoke or drink or anything like that. Certainly not before I'm working. And when we're having through, yes, I will get someone come through who's talking about their baking.
It's the important part. Yeah,
so so you will get the smells of the food that they used to do, yeah. And yes, you will get ladies come through and you smell their favorite perfume. Not that I personally would know the difference.
Right. No,
my late wife may have, but I certainly don't.
Yeah. No.
Again, the smells of favorite flowers and things like that as well. You can pick up.
Yeah, there is scent there, and that is, yes, a part of the subtlety of spirit, isn't it?
It is very much so. Yes.
Okay. So. Yeah. So let's just take another, because I think people are interested in how, because I'm certainly interested in where the information comes from.
Yes.
Because a lot of mediums say, I just pick it up, right? And
yeah.
So me being me, I want to know what that means. When someone says,
yes,
oh, no, I just get it. I just get it clairvoyantly. I get it clairaudiently. I get it clair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Where does, yes, this information come from?
Yes.
So most mediums I talk to will say there's a world that people go to when they pass. They call it the realm of spirit, the spirit,
yes,
world. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what you call it. I think, yeah, we all have our own.
We all have our own descriptions. We know that our loved ones move on somewhere else, and it could be some talk of a spirit world around us.
Dave, do we know, or are we just assuming?
It's close enough to contact now. Whether it's around us or in another dimension.
Tell me, what do you think, and what do you think the spirit world actually is then?
It is just another sphere of existence that is accessible to some of us. They are those that have moved on. Can certainly, it's certainly close enough for them to be knowledge of what we're doing, because what a lot of the things we pick up with mediumship is those that have gone on before bringing through confirmation that they're aware of what we're still doing.
Okay, so, I'll ask you. Dave. I'll ask you a question that I was asked live on air when I went on and did an interview as a medium from the work that I did. It's the guy, he said to me, surely that can't be so. I don't want my granddad looking at me in the bath. Right?
Yes.
So.
Well, yes, they're around, but I believe I believe the link is, I wouldn't say it's that close. You know, we can't see the spirit world with their physical eyes, and I don't think they can see everything that's going on, but that link is on a telepathic level, a mental level, because we had that telepathic link. I always say to people is when we're aware of someone being around, when we go into our homes, we know when there's people in the house. 9 times out of 10, we know who they are because we recognize their energy, our family members. And when our spiritual friends are around, they've got that same energy and we recognize that same energy. But I believe that link is on a, yes, they know what's going on in our lives, but they're getting it from our minds and from a telepathic link with our higher level mind.
Okay.
Because so we're talking, again, our higher mind against, as a spiritual mind, that's against to our physical mind.
So it's a sense.
It's a sense. It's a feeling. It's a telepathic link.
Okay.
But they are aware. Yes, I wouldn't want my grandmother looking at me when I'm in the bathroom either.
No, I don't think you'd want to.
No, definitely wouldn't.
No, it's the same as me.
I don't think any of us would. No.
Okay, let's get back to what the spirit world actually is then, Dave. What is the spirit world?
There's lots of talk. I mean, I've been around in this for best part of 60 years, probably over 60 years. And I've read a lot of teachings from, White Eagle, Silver Birch, and many other spiritual teachers. And there's talk, I think some writers in the past called it the summer land above. And you hear that description come out, still come up today with some mediums. So it's I believe I personally, you know, we've talked before about multiple lives, which I believe we have. And I believe the spirit world is the sort of parent. So we're spirit first and physical second, so that we come into this world from wherever, the spirit world, be it somewhere up there or somewhere in another dimension. And we come into this life to learn a lesson, to do of it, you know, like a year in school, go home for the summer holidays, back up there, and then come back at some time in the future with another set of classmates and on another incarnation.
Okay, so let me ask you something which has always made me think when I look at it in conjunction with that.
Yeah.
How does time fit into this?
Time is a difficult one. There's a lot that believe that there's no time on the spirit side of life and that they can pop into this life at any time. And when we talk about our multiple incarnations, because there's no time in the spirit world, we could have past lives in the future on the earth.
Okay.
Not just in the past.
So try explaining time without using the word time. That's
exactly
not an impossibility, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes, it
because
is.
Because we all live a linear life.
We live a linear life.
But if we live a circular life, then yep. It's possible we could actually circumnavigate that particular life at any point.
That's very true, yes.
Now, that to me is much more clear about it than anything that would actually fit away from that. And the concept of the spirit world takes away from that. Because the universe is very, very uncomplicated. It's just extremely simple, straightforward. Everything is not complicated. So why would we want to complicate it by adding in a mirror world that's exactly like this world into our equations and having to figure out how time fits?
An interesting one, isn't it? But do we know the spirit world is like this one? We don't. It is an assumption, but it's always thought of as being, always talked about as being a better place than here. So it's talked about coming to this world to learn lessons, for having, talking about all sorts of things, and, you know, about spiritual progression. A mirror world, I'm not sure. You know, because if it was a mirror world, I'm sure I wouldn't want to go into a mirror world like this world as it is at the moment.
Well,
so
it's a holding place. Yeah, that's all I can see it as. I can see it as a place that you have to factor time in. You have to, because without time, let's face it, our human existence and reincarnation could just be that one minute you've passed. Your consciousness is gone. Your soul has left your body. It's transcended. It's gone. Next minute, you're laying in your cot looking up.
Yeah.
At your new mum or dad or both.
Yes.
Or granny or whatever. Okay. Yeah. So
I know there are a lot that believe that we do pop straight into the next incarnation. I know the Buddhists believe that, among others. Personally, not. But.
Give me your argument for not believing that, because I can give you a very good viewpoint from believing that there is no holding place. You know, I personally have said to the people here at Dial the Cosmos many times, I do not believe in the world of spirit for the reasons that I've stated.
Yeah.
But I want to understand why people believe in it, because that's it's almost like a counter argument that allows me to even figure out more.
Yeah, I think from one reason for it is the fact that mediumship works. If we jumped straight from one incarnation into another body, how would that communication work with those that have gone before?
Okay.
Because then you would have potentially those that are walking the earth who are still in linking in with other people.
This is interesting for me, all right? And first of all, I would question if mediumship works. Totally.
Fair enough.
Okay, that's the first thing. I think that's quite a wide-ranging statement that covers everything.
Yeah.
But I would certainly question that. But I'm not going to go into depth on that. The second thing is, what would stop us being able to communicate soul to soul? In other words, all the information in a soul is actually on that same vibration, that same frequency. You know about frequency and vibration and energy.
Very much so. Yes.
Yeah, you're into that. I'm into that. Yeah. What would stop people being able to have that same radio tune in to somebody else's soul, and mediums just happen to be particularly good at doing that?
That is potentially the way we're doing it. Because when we're linking with people and giving spirit communication, we are linking with the soul of a person that has gone before and bringing in information to their loved ones that are still here.
So what's the need for the spirit world?
Exactly. Belief. It's reassurance.
Yeah. It's an assumption.
It's an assumption.
Yeah. No one's ever gone back and brought back something from the spirit world that is an artifact or something that can actually show this is where this is. Now, I know there's been certain things like teleportations and manifestations and all this sort of stuff that have been claimed over the the centuries since the Fox sisters first started going out there and talking about this sort of stuff. And I know that there's plenty of mediums that will tell you that they can perform this sort of stuff in front of people, and transfiguration mediums and teleportation, and bringing people like Michael Roll, who was able to literally manifest people next to him.
And
that very interesting, very, very detailed stuff. So what would be the point for people being stuck in a world that was called the spirit world? It doesn't seem to make, it seems to be an add-on at times for people to justify what they're saying. The other thing that I would really ask you about, and I don't want to bombard you, I don't want to throw stuff at you without preparing you, but you mean, do people grow up in spirit? If little Johnny lost his life at the age of 4, is that the end of that life? Does he reincarnate, or does he grow up to full maturity in the spirit world?
I believe he grows up within the spirit world.
Why?
Because I've had evidence of it. I've given people
share.
I've got a family member. My daughter-in-law lost a brother when he was about 7 years old. He's continued to grow up in the spirit world. She's been giving him in messages many times. He's left many, many evidence of being around in her home, like physical manifestations, of keep turning the taps on and things like that, which is one of his favourite tricks when he was on the earth plane. I've also had many people that have had through where I've brought through the names of children that have passed in miscarriages.
Okay.
Because they continue to grow up in the spirit world, or where we go next.
Okay. It's an interesting concept.
It is, yes.
But again, time doesn't fit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really want people to give me the understanding of where they come from, because none of our belief structures are just given to us. We've gone through those personal experiences.
We have, yes.
That have actually brought that to us. And we've adopted them through personal experience.
Yep.
So our belief structures become a part of our existence, of who we actually are. So nobody talks about things unless they really understand it or believe in it.
True.
Yeah.
So we like to think so.
Well, I think that we have a handle on certain things, but the conversation is important so we can grow.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. If we don't have conversations that question, then really the accountability for doing what we do isn't there, is it?
That's true.
Okay. I want to change tack a little bit. And I want to take you back. I want to take you back to that young man who went to RAF Swinderby.
No. I was a Holton brat.
You went to Holt, okay. And you signed up and joined the Royal Air Force.
I did indeed, yes.
Okay, so how was the young David Frost?
A bit crazy.
Right?
grammar school boy, left grammar school at 16 and joined up. I trained as an aircraft engineer.
Did you go in as an apprentice?
I went in as an apprentice, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. And you went in as an aircraft technician?
Aircraft technician, propulsion systems.
Right, okay. So jet engines, basically.
Jet engines, aircraft fuel systems, all sorts of things that went bang.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Interesting stuff, yeah. I got posts from that when I left training. I got posts to RAF Wittering on Harriers when they first came into service. So I ended up as a early expert on the Harrier aircraft. So, and probably in those years, early years, I met my wife, got married in 1972. from the Harrier experience, I went across after 6 years on Harriers, I went to Germany on Buccaneers for 3 years. Then back to Wittering, and then Falklands came along, and I ended up in the Falklands, travelled down there on a ship called Atlantic Conveyor, transferred onto Hermes, operating as an engineer with the RAF Harriers, giving close air support during the Falklands War. Background to that, my parents had been Navy, and I'd always said I wanted to be an aircraft engineer and then wanted to be joining the Fleet Air Arm, and I said, no thanks, I don't want to be on a floating target. And then, of course, I ended up as a Harrier specialist and ended up on a floating target in the Falklands.
So how did that fit with your faith, with your spirituality?
It was awkward, but I've always believeved that we're on a pathway in this life and we go and do what we're meant to do in life.
Okay, interesting.
Although during that period, I wasn't practicing.
No.
Although I was still, you know, spiritual, I wasn't an active churchgoer or anything at all during that period.
No, but we both know we come across some really quite fearsome characters in the Air Force, don't we?
We do, and certainly my faith was challenged as well with some of the things that I went through during those years, you know, with two wars.
Yeah, could you expand on, you know, that challenge or how your faith was extended during that time?
It was, it did challenge it. And I did doubt, but then I just got an awakening or something and had that, I don't know, that light bulb went on and I realised that it was what I was meant to do in life, you know, and we just get on with it.
We just get on.
We just get on, that's all we do, isn't it? That's all we, particularly, you know, if you're in the forces, first rule is survival. And then everything else, you get on and do the best you can.
Yep. Well, if you can't take a joke, you don't sign up, do you?
Exactly.
We both know that.
Exactly.
But the actuality was that in a war zone, there's a lot of people that are questioning their own mortality.
Very much so, yes.
And you would have come across that, especially in the Falklands.
I did come across that, yes.
So would you mind expanding on that a little bit?
Well, there was, we did talk about, I was on Atlantic Conveyor, which was sunk later on. For whatever reason, when I first stood on deck on that ship, I knew it wasn't coming home.
Which is incredible, really, isn't it? We're talking 1982, just to put a time frame into this.
Yeah, we're talking 1982. I was on there, I suppose, 3 weeks or so before we transferred off onto the carriers. The nights before I left, I was in the crew bar talking, as we do in the forces, you have a social evening, saying cheerio to the civilian crew on board. And conversation came up talking about that they'd all put their affairs in order. They'd all said their goodbyes to the family because they knew they weren't coming home or didn't expect to be coming home.
Yeah.
So they'd picked up already. They had that, merchant seamen are superstitious anyway.
Sure.
But it ended up with me sitting talking to them all night, basically about 4 hours, about what happens when you pass, which is all my understanding of it. I'm not saying I was right or was wrong, but
but it's your take.
My take on what happens when you pass. They all went back to work with less fear and feeling more positive about what was going to be. So it was helping them come to terms with what was going on.
Yeah. And for people that don't know too much about history, because we're now talking history, aren't we? Because
we are, yes.
a fair few years ago.
It's for over 40 years ago now, yes.
Crazy, isn't it? Doesn't feel
Yeah.
like it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Tell the people listening what happened to the Atlantic conveyor.
The Atlantic conveyor was it was a container ship. It had a lot of ordnance on there. It was a supply ship for the landings in the Falklands. It was a container ship. It was probably as big as the carriers that we had at the time.
Sure.
It had tents on there for 10,000 people, thousands of jerry cans of fuel for the vehicles when they landed, as well as resupply for lots and lots of weapons for the aircraft. There's lots of cluster bombs and for the army. There was lots and lots of ordnance on there, as well as
Helicopters.
there was helicopters. There were Harriers on the deck. There were helicopters and Harriers. In the bottom of the ship was a massive amount of Royal Engineers equipment for building airfields. All
Right.
that was on there for rebuilding the infrastructure when we went on there. So there was a massive amount of things on there. And on the 25th of May 1982, it was hit by two Exocet missiles. And it went through the deck that had all the fuel and the cluster bombs and everything else that was on there. The explosions, because it was a merchant ship, not a military ship, the missiles effectively went in one side and out the other. But the rocket motors and everything else set fire to everything that was on there. The ship burnt for 3 days before it sank. Well, it sank under tow. It broke in half and sank when they were trying to tow it to the islands,
Right.
because there were tugs for the with the task force, and it broke in half and sunk when they were towing it. And it's still now in the South Atlantic as a war grave.
Yeah, and that conversation you had, and that time you spent on that
Yes.
particular vessel becomes
Yes.
very much more poignant now, doesn't it?
It does very much, yes. And we talked about, I went away from spiritualism as such for probably 30 years from when I joined up. And I did say I did come back to it when I got into my 50s. And the first time I walked into my local spiritualist church, or one of the first times, the first message I had anyway from a medium on the platform, he said, "I've got a chap here who's a sea captain with a big white beard." And he was described as looking like Captain Birdseye, which is what was a
Yeah.
nickname for him down south. So I'm not being disparaging. And he came through to thank me for what I'd done for his crew that night,
Right.
which I did at the time. I didn't understand because I'd forgotten about all of this. It was
Right.
over 20 years. And then when I got back into my spiritual development, I was shown, shall we say, all the spiritual work I've been doing when I thought I wasn't.
Yep,
And
like you do.
that was one of the incidents that was brought back to remind me that what I'd actually been doing.
Which is quite remarkable, really, isn't it?
It is,
Because
yes.
whichever way you look at it, right? And for me personally, I want people to see mediums with credibility,
Yes.
right? I want them to actually have an impact because of how good they are, and because of their knowledge, their obtainment to keep improving, and also the evidence they give. I'm very passionate about being able to see people giving really top evidence, really evidence of survival, because that evidence can change a life. It can free someone up to live a life in a way where you're living in the moment, you're living to enjoy, because you realize that you may get another go round, but this time round is the most important one because that's what you're living.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's why I'm so harsh on mediums. Not because I don't love them all, because I do, but I want them to be able to be the best at what they do and
Yes.
be able to give that message, that information, to transmit what is out there so people can examine it. Because if it's uncredible or if it's not credible, people are just going to go, that's just another idiot trying to seek attention.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not
Exactly.
wanting that because I'm a medium. Right. And if I'm a medium, I'm associated to the person who does that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want it to be good. I want it to be the best. And if I can help, share, point, encourage, love, if you like, the people that want to be able to share what they know, then I will.
And that is very much what mediumship's about.
It should be, shouldn't it?
I totally agree with you, yeah.
Yep. I won't suffer fools though, Dave.
No, I don't.
No,
I don't. Won't. I don't either. No, I can be very, very critical.
Well, I don't think it's critical. I think it's understanding. No. So the actual best people. You know, you don't get somebody who plays park football playing for Manchester United.
Exactly.
Right. I want to be playing for the best team. I don't want to be playing for a team that is just ridiculed. And
very much so.
And there's a lot of that goes on because that's what people would like to transmit. You know, you see a lot of it in public broadcasting. They will very quickly criticize people for whatever reason, because they open themselves up to criticism. You mean, yes. Mediumship is not a game of charades. It's not I've got a C, a D, an E here, or can you take it? Or, you know, to an audience in Ireland, I've got a Mary here. Can anyone take a Mary? It's not about that, right?
It's not about that, no.
It's not. It's much more independently individual, okay? And that's why I think that your story about the Atlantic conveyor is an important part, because you're not just a person that hasn't got a brain cell. If you pardon the...
I like to think that, yeah.
No, you've got an intelligence about you. You've worked on jet engines, you know, first jump jet, Harrier, Buccaneers. Yep. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for engineers in the Air Force. You know, a lot of my friends were and are engineers, and I've got a lot of friends who are pilots, some that died, some that survived, and so on. So the respect is there already. But to hear someone talking spiritually from an intellect... is an important factor, and I think people should be able to be exposed to that.
Yes.
Okay. So, Falklands, very interesting. it was an interesting place, and I think that war zones don't focus your mind.
They do focus your mind. You do become very, if you're involved in it, you become a changed character.
It does change your whole perspective, doesn't it?
It changes your whole perspective. On the Falklands, you know, many people thought that it was going to be a jolly. We get halfway there and be turned around and sent back. So there was lots of volunteers wanting to go, thinking they get an outing. I was told, no, you're the best, you're going. But all of that, it does change your perspective. And it was like, you know, on board Hermes. On the first day of the landings, which was May the 20th, I think, or 21st, 1982, when we went in on attacked Bluff Cove and started the landings, one of our pilots was shot down. Yeah. It was a close friend of mine. Yeah. He was the only prisoner of war that the Argentinians had, and he was badly smashed up ejecting.
Yeah,
but at the time we thought he'd passed, that he'd died. Yeah. And when you think have a friend that is you think killed, it does change your mindset immensely, very quickly.
Very, 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 very much so. And those pilots were brave men. Part of the reason I joined up in the Air Force was because I always knew that they sent the officers to war.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I love that concept. Yeah,
that concept. Yeah.
I could never switch it around the other way.
No, in the RAF, what happens in the RAF? Why is it better? You send the officers to the fighting, and the rest of us stay in the shelters.
Yes, we keep it back up, and the intelligence go out there to fight. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm always for that. Okay, let's bring it up to date, Dave, and tell us what you're currently doing right now within your life, because. Yeah, I mean, it's great to talk about. We could talk about Falklands all day long, right?
Yeah.
You and me. It'd be of no interest to anyone else listening. But for me and you, it'd be a great way of reminiscing.
There might be one or two with an interest. Come on.
There may be. but most people, if you talk about the Falklands these days, they haven't got a clue. If I show them my campaign medal, they just think it's a milk bottle top. They don't know what it is to have that campaign medal. And it's history. It's a history of something that we once went through.
It is, yes.
And yeah, it makes us who we are today, but
and
there's a whole generation out there that wouldn't even know what it was about.
No, exactly.
But
I've got first Gulf War with mine as well, so some people remember that one.
You got the Gulf War as well.
I got the Gulf War one and the undetected crime, of course.
Yeah, well, you did well, didn't you? I was well away after the Falklands.
Oh, okay.
But the idea of it, of going to war, really does sharpen your thoughts.
It does, very much so, yes.
Okay, so now let's step into today. Tell us about David Frost, the medium, healer, okay, teacher, mentor.
All right, mentor. What I'm doing today, I do a lot of spiritual healing work. I'm a trance healer.
Tell me how that works, Dave.
Well, many people in spiritual healing, or shall we say conventional spiritual healers, as in Reiki, they ask for the energy to be given to them, and then they pass that healing energy on to the patient.
Okay.
I'm a great believer that that method, the amount of healing that goes to the patient is limited by the experience of the media, of the healer.
Okay.
The experience and the understanding. And the way I was taught was that if we can just open a doorway and allow those higher energies to work directly with the patient without our human body being a blockage, then they will get a far stronger healing.
Okay, explain that to me so I understand it. Because I hear open the doorway.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean in relevant terms?
Basically, I will link with my spirit guides or angels or whoever we think that energy is coming from. And I will stand aside my emotional being.
Right.
So they're working directly with the patient.
Okay.
So it's as if I'm as if I stand aside mentally.
So do you know who you're linking with? Because you gave two or three examples there.
Yes.
Who are you linking with, Dave?
The way I do it when I'm linking, I ask for I always, you know, this is my concept of working with healing angels.
Okay.
So I work with the Archangel Raphael.
Okay.
Bring the healing energies through, and then I ask my healing guides to take that, go to the patient to take the healing rays that are needed by the patient.
Fantastic.
I do have a number of healing guides that work with me, and like the doctors in the NHS, they all specialize in different things. So I've got a German surgeon that works with me for physical healing, and he will sometimes come through with his full theater team.
Okay.
I have Native American shaman and various others that come through. I have St. Francis works with me for animal healing.
Okay.
If I'm around animals that need healing, I'm aware of Francis stepping right forward.
And are these guides open for anybody who calls upon them?
Yes. Yes, they are.
So they must be very powerful.
They are very powerful. I know many people who heal, they will all link with the angelic to bring the energy in, but many will have their own healing guides to work with individually. But
okay,
I know for a fact that there are many that work with different people around the world at different times.
Brilliant. I'm really interested. Is the angelic realm a conduit to link?
I think it was as a conduit for the energy, yes.
Yeah.
Because when we're working mediumship, we always ask to work in light, in divine light, all of us.
I'm more interested in healing at this moment.
In the healing side, the angelic can be a conduit for the healing, yes. And when we're talking about healing, we talk about different coloured healing rays, because with the spiritual healing, but also with colour healing, with crystals, everyone talks about different colours having different significance and different characteristics.
Right.
So for normal physical healing, we would normally, most healers would work with blue rays or with green, which will be the main colours that will be used for physical healing. I work a lot with a white light or a cream light, which are the very, very pastel colours, which I will bring around for mental health healing. Because they'll bring calm and they'll bring peace around the mind.
Right.
Because when we're working with mental health, obviously we can't cure anything, but we can create the conditions to help the person to live with or get over their condition that they're living with.
Okay. So do these colors represent frequencies?
They do work with frequencies and different ranges, yes.
Okay. Is there anything that can boost those frequencies?
It can be just through our own energy and developing our own skill set, because we can work as amplifiers if we get our trust level and our belief up, and as we develop and become stronger at what we do, we can become a stronger amplifier for those colors and help with the work.
Okay, so what about things like crystals? Do they help amplify?
They do, yes. And crystals work with earth energy as well, because obviously they're part of the earth. But the colors they will also amplify. Crystals can be used in mediumship as well. Many people use crystals in mediumship.
Let me bring you back to healing, because this is so much more important, because people need to understand how they can access this, because this is obviously a force for good. This is
oh, very much so, yes.
Something that is actually there, because there's a lot of people in a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in the world.
There is, yes.
So if we got these entities, these St. Francis or angel energy or crystal energy,
whatever it is, yes.
Yep, and we can tap into that.
We can tap into that, yes.
Surely we should be able to be aware of that.
We should be able to, yes. And some people are. And it's I believe that all of us, all who come into this world, have the ability inherent to develop as a healer, as a medium, as both.
So basically, when you say that to me, what I see in my head is a picture of us all being able to manifest.
We are able to manifest the energy, yes, and use it.
And definitely. The awareness that we can manifest is the first step on understanding that we can do it for ourselves as well.
Exactly, yes, very much so.
Okay, so energy healing explained slightly. We might have another conversation on this at some further date, because I'm very limited in what I know about it, and I'm still coming to terms with what it means to understand it. And although I've had some really fantastic mentors in the past to talk to me about these sort of stuff, I could never quite get how it worked or see the results of how it worked. And me being me, very mechanical, very structured mindset, and I want to know if it works. I want to be able to share it. I want to be able to spread the word. If it doesn't work, I want to tell people to avoid it. You know, so it's that whole sort of prevalent.
I mean, we talk about spiritual healing in this country, in the UK. In other parts of the world, it's called energy healing. And in others where they don't think it totally from spirit. I know people in the Middle East are healers, and they just call it energy healing. But it's working the same way. You're just bringing that energy through.
Yeah.
Because anybody that's healing, you're channeling energy through to the patient.
Okay, cool.
And how you do it is, obviously the way I do it is I teach people ways to maximize the impact, so you get a better effect.
Which brings me on to the next question.
Yeah,
and we're gradually running out of time as well, Dave, which is amazing how fast a conversation can go, really.
It is, yes.
When
yes.
you get into it. But, you know, you are a mixed faith.
Yeah, I say multi-faith, and I say that because I'm a spiritualist. I was christened Church of England. I changed my religion myself before I joined the RAF when I was about 15. I went to my local spiritualist church and went through a spiritualist naming ceremony, which again, there's another story with that, because you forget about these things. And I think it was only, I lost my mum a few years ago when she was 89, but when she was only about 5 or 6 years ago, I just went to my mum one day and said, can you remember what that naming ceremony, can you remember what my spiritual name was given? And she said, yes, I can. She said, Martin Luther. And I thought, that is brilliant. And I just burst out laughing. I said, that perfectly demonstrates it fits in perfectly with my opinion of Orthodox religion.
Right. So where you are today.
So where I am today, yeah. So it totally fits in perfectly.
So sort of a time warp in a way, isn't it?
It's a time warp in a way, yeah. Then I went on with that. And then I'm a spiritualist, and I was a spiritualist on my dog tags in the RAF. When I came back into my development, I went through, and I'm working as a healer, working as a medium. And I just got a random call one day from a medium, and this lady saying, "Dave, I want to ask you to join my group." And it's a group that's linked to Christian spiritualism.
Okay.
And we want to offer you ministry, make you a minister. But hang on what experience, on based on what? She says, well, you've been a healer for 50 years, you've been a medium for nearly 20. So you know it all already. You've got the experience.
Did you know this lady's name at the time when she asked you this?
Yes, I did. I had met her before. Yes, I had met her before. Yeah. And the group that she asked me to join is called Our Multi-Faith Healing Ministry, based in the East Midlands, and they're affiliated to Christian spiritualism.
Okay.
But they call themselves multi-faith,
right?
And which suits me perfectly, because although I'm predominantly the spiritualist, I do work with Muslims, I work with Sikhs, I work with Hindus, not necessarily as healers. Some are healers, some are mediums, but I get people from other faiths who come to me and just want to talk about spiritual philosophy, because they're not getting the answers they want from their own faith leaders.
Sure.
And that is very humbling that people want to come and talk to me about it.
Of course.
Because they will come and say, I want to understand the spiritual understanding of what's going on in the world at the moment, things like this. Yeah. Because I'm not getting the answers that I'm looking for from my own faith leaders.
Yeah. Well, that's what this program's about. Dial the Cosmos. Yeah. It's purely about opening up conversations.
Exactly.
To help people understand and go and examine it for themselves.
Yeah.
And go and do that. And that's really what you're doing with those people that primarily they're human beings, aren't they?
We're all human beings. We're all fellow mortals. We're fellow mortals. We're all brothers and sisters in the eyes of creation. We're all linked together, maybe.
If we believe in creation.
If we believe in creation.
But that's another podcast, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So Dave, coming up to the close now, before I ask you a little bit about one particular area, what is the future for you, and how do people get a hold of you right now?
The future for me, I'll carry on doing what I can. I'm in my 70s already, so I'll be carrying on doing what I do. I'm on the committee of Kettering Spiritualist Church in the East Midlands.
Okay.
I am contactable on Facebook. I haven't set up, because I don't know why, everything I've done over the years, I've just had personal referrals, word of mouth. I haven't needed a website and a Facebook page, just my mediumship, but I will set one up. I'll set up a Facebook page. I will try and look at a website in the future.
Okay. So it's David Frost at Facebook, basically.
I'm on Facebook as Dave Frost.
Dave Frost. So yeah. I'll put that in the program notes. So, I hope you don't get too bothered and too pestered.
No, it's no problem at all.
But,
like you, my Facebook page, I've got so many groups with ex-forces people and churches and family and everything else. So I do need to separate things out and set up a separate page for my mediumship, which has been on my agenda to do this for about 2 years. I'm not time to do it yet.
no problem at all. No time. So you're well in. So the beauty of anything is you can never know enough people, can you?
No, exactly.
Okay. So last question time.
Yeah.
Totally different to what we talked about throughout the whole podcast. Tell me, what was the last piece of music that you listened to?
Oh, goodness me.
Haha, got you.
it would have been meditation music.
Okay, so tell us, what was it?
It was earlier today. It was by an artist called Deuter.
Okay.
And it was called Sea and Silence.
Sea and Silence.
Sea and Silence.
And Silence.
Yes.
Gosh, if only that could be so true. Right.
Yes, exactly.
See, okay. So do you ever listen to anything contemporary or anything else? Or is that primarily where you are, just meditation music?
Meditation music mainly. I do. The early days, I was very much heavy rock. Going back in the days, but I've mellowed in my old age.
I couldn't imagine you with AC/DC or Deep Purple somehow, but
Deep Purple, definitely, yes.
Yeah. See, so we cross over the generations. Yeah. You know, my first job, radio DJing. So sort of getting to music. But the interesting
deep,
is
Deep Purple was definitely one of mine in the early '70s. Yeah,
the early 70s.
Cream, Deep Purple, Sabbath. Yeah.
Yeah, Procol Harum.
Yeah.
People like that.
All of the above. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, Dave Frost, multi-faith minister. Yeah.
Multi-faith minister. Yeah.
Nice man.
Thank you.
Spiritualist medium, willing to come on here and be cross-questioned about beliefs and understanding.
All sorts.
It's been a great hour.
And thank you.
Real pleasure meeting you, knowing you. Hopefully, remaining friends with you for
ever. Yes.
And looking forward to watching your life grow and what you're doing in the future. So please don't become a stranger. And thank you for coming on Dial the Cosmos.
Thank you, Dom. It's been a pleasure being on. And thank you to everybody that's listening and watching.
Thank you, Dave. Take care. Bye-bye.
And you. Bye-bye.